Alrighty. We haven't done this in a while, but I'd like to welcome our Skypees. The Skypees. We've been talking about faith, and we've been talking about this reality that faith is to God. It relates to trust that something greater comes out of selfless giving. And it is a trust that life comes out of death, all of that being one thought. And so we've been talking about that faith in Romans, but I want to go to several scriptures this afternoon, whatever we're in. I live in a cave. I don't know what time it is. And I want to start with 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And as you're turning there, I will put a little something here. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. All right, most people emphasize that not by sight part, which is good. But I want to emphasize the first part. And I want to tie that to this truth of cross thinking, of cross proceeding, of a crucified life, of a belief system that trusts I guess I should put another thing here. Let's see. Maybe that's sufficient. A belief system that isn't based on systematic doctrines that we hold, but it is a belief system that believes with all its heart. I'm going to say the short version first. With all its heart in God. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is not that it believes with all its heart that there is a God, nor am I saying that faith is a belief that with all your heart you believe in God who does good stuff for you. But in fact, it is a faith that believes and trusts with all its heart in the nature of God. Okay. Now, initial salvation, probably not. You don't have the true trust in his nature. You see his nature, or what he did at Calvary, or what he did on the cross. You see his nature not as a nature, but as an act within a time period that did stuff for you. But in fact, what was accomplished there on the cross was the result of his nature and is meant to be discovered later, that it is him, I believe, and not just the event of the cross 2,000 years ago that saved me. I believe in the cross 2,000 years ago and I'm saved. Well, no, yes. In truth, If you believe in that cross and you believe that that death produced an incredible power that has rippled throughout all generations where people have been saved and come to God and all of that, then you believe in his nature. Because his nature is what did that, and based on his nature, he did that, not based on, you know, sometimes we paint this picture like, okay, God made man, and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and they failed, and they fell into sin, and so God feels responsible because he's God, so he's got to come and save us, you know, because, you know, it's almost like, now, it isn't this, but if we would think, it's almost like, oh, well, I let that snake in the garden, and I probably shouldn't have done that. I allowed him in there, and I probably shouldn't have done that. So really, it's my fault. Or you can have some people who don't believe in the Lord at all, and they say, where'd that snake come from? God's supposed to know everything? He didn't know he was in there? Everything else is perfect in there, except that snake. Well, everything else is not perfect in there. Adam and Eve are not made perfect. They were not made perfect. So basically what I'm saying is there really needs to come a place where we understand the faith of the New Testament, where we understand the cross in light of the true meaning that God ultimately wants us to embrace and to live according to. So this scripture, like I said, the first part is what I wanted to just address, for we walk by faith. Okay, so here's the believer, here's the cross, and over here's trials, and we walk by faith. The scripture doesn't say we believe by faith. Doesn't say we believe by faith. That's kind of a, what do you call it? You got a double positive. Because believing and faith are basically the same thing. So it doesn't say that we believe by faith. Faith is believing, but faith not only believes the cross, but this says, for we walk by faith. Okay. And that faith is, as we're going to see, that faith is the reality that we believe that Jesus' self-giving was not an act of God's mercy, was not an act of God. And is God merciful? Yes, certainly he's merciful. But it wasn't an act of his mercy. It was an act of his nature. And in his nature, we get all the benefits, mercifully, graciously. But the act was by his nature. All right, so there is that that reality. So what I want to talk about tonight in this first class is I want to talk about this thing, this relationship that we have, this way that faith affects us. Because faith doesn't just affect us by believing something. I used to believe in partying and this and that, and now I believe in salvation, and I believe in God, and I believe that he's good and we should serve him, and we were renegades, but now we're, you know, now we're save-gades or whatever we are. And now we're going to, you know, but rather something higher that he desired in all of this. And that he would want us to come to. All right, so there is this fact that we do believe in the cross. We believe in the work of the cross. But in seeing that, we believe that there's a faith that will cause us to live a certain way. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of one who loves by giving himself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. All of that has to do with living. And all of it has to do with the faith that Paul saw in relationship to the cross. And I'm going to say he saw it in relationship to the cross as an event. And when he saw it and embraced it, it was no longer an event. It became something he should walk by. He should walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And all of these scriptures that point this out. Okay, so there is this... there's this boomerang effect, I guess. You could say he looks at the cross, and there he sees the way God is. He sees the nature. Well, at first he sees salvation, and then he sees that it was through selfless giving. But then he takes another look at the cross, and he sees the nature of God. And he sees that he doesn't just walk by faith principles or doctrines. He walks by the faith of the Son of God who gives himself in this manner. And that's what he walks by. And that transforms all kind of things. But it transforms. One of the things is, if he's walking by that and he sees trials coming, the prudent man seeth the trials coming and he hideth himself. Well, where are you hid? In Christ. You are hid with Christ in God, and you hide and you let Jesus' spirit and his nature guide you through that. You don't run away. You know, it could have said, the prudent man seeth the trouble coming, and he runs away. And that's how we could read that. But do you ever see Paul running away? Or Jesus, did he ever run away from it? Or any of them, did they ever run away from it? It is to go through them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. What is that? Okay. God's with me. He's floating just above me with a big sword. Is that what that means? I mean, is that what it means? Or is it God is with me? You check out David's writings. You check out Psalms. You check out the way that he relates to the Lord. And it's closer. He's the one who set up a tabernacle called David's Tabernacle, which tabernacle, David's tabernacle, could represent his body. Because the Old Testament, I hate getting into all this stuff, but the Old Testament tabernacle represented Jesus in his physical body. And God came down and he dwelt and he lived inside that tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. And the scriptures say in John, the first chapter, that when he came, the original Greek in there is that he tabernacled among us. Okay. But the temple, it never calls us, after the death and resurrection of Christ, never calls us the tabernacle. It calls us the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord, which is his resurrected body, or resurrection body, the body of his resurrection, however you want to say it. You see that? And so when we look at trials, you know, I mean, we look at that in light of faith. The faith. We look at that in light of, I can bring something out of this as long as I enter into it in faith. Or I can run, not release anything, and hide myself and say, oh, what a prudent man am I. But you've done nothing for anyone else except self-protect, ultimately. You know? Well, clearly that's not the spirit of what the faith is about. And having faith in Jesus. You know? And so you see that trial, and you enter into that trial in faith with With purpose.
Okay, with purpose.
What did I do with my thing?
And that is that something will come out of this, something good to God or others.
Something good will come out, not just for yourself, but for God and others. Every man look not on your own things, but on the things of others.
Okay.
So, you transform those trials into crucified situations that will bring forth something greater. Okay. So, this is what I want to talk about, is I want to talk about the difference between the power that is released when we put the cross in those trials or whatever. It doesn't even have to be trials. I mean, in other words, it doesn't have to be something we're walking into. It can just be self-giving. You don't have to have a trial to give yourself. Okay. But we're just using that as an example so that you can see that there is a power released when you bring the cross into that. When you take up your cross and you follow Jesus in everything that you come to. Or when you walk by faith, not just believe by faith, by bringing, and when I say the cross into everything, the crucified nature or the Lamb, the Spirit of the Lamb, or however you want to say it. But there is a belief because faith believes something and puts it to work. And it does so for God and for others, the fulfillment of the first two commandments, which says, if you keep these two, you've kept the whole law. Because it's that spirit. It more clearly is seen that it's not about you. It's what's seen by the first two commandments. What about me? Love God and others. You can't really learn to love someone else until you love yourself. Maybe I should be the second commandment. No. Okay. No. God knows what he's doing. You're not even the third commandment. In fact, you're not mentioned except for thou shalt not. Okay. So there is this, and this is what we've been really dealing with now for a while and leading up to, and it all started all the way back at the first part of Romans when we started talking about the ancient paths. And then we started bringing in the Day of Atonement. And what did we see with the Day of Atonement? We saw that all these people are sinning and messing up and doing wrong and doing all this stuff. And God steps in, not with a miracle, not with just mercy. I just have mercy, you're forgiven. Oh, it's just gone because I'm merciful. No! His mercy comes out of a slain lamb, the Day of Atonement. There is no grace apart from the cross. And there is no cross without a slain lamb. Okay? We talk about the mercy of God. Well, it's just the mercy of God that, protected me. Well, it was the grace of God that crucified you. A lot of times we make statements like, it's just the grace of God that protected. And I'm not, I understand and I'm not trying, but I'm just saying, I'm not dealing with the words, but a mentality that is pretty happy that I'm being preserved instead of given. I will say that. Well, thank God, because I realize God did something, but I don't want to say it in some sort of spirit that is going, oh, thank God, I live by the world, by the way they think, and I've got protected and I'm okay, and all this kind of stuff, instead of saying, first and foremost, I never need to leave the cross, not as a belief system, not a system at all, nor as a walk, so that I'm judging things. Well, when we're at church, Bible school, yes, I understand all this. But when I'm out in the world, you know. I mean, didn't I tell that story recently of me and good brother that I went to Bible school with, and we're driving down the road, and he's driving, and we're in a little MG, and we're in Bible school, we're Bible school students, and we're born again, and we got the top down, we're just, man, we're sailing along, and we're Christians, and we're Christian brothers, and so I'm singing, you know, loudly, if I live, praise the Lord. If I die, praise the Lord. And the rest of the song goes, if I live or die, my only cry will be Jesus in me, praise the Lord. Well, I didn't get that far. We're driving, I sing, if I live, praise the Lord. If I die, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, this car runs a stop sign, or Augie actually goes through a light, and it's kind of late. And I said, what are you trying to do, kill us? Immediately, that's what I said. And we both, you know, we were kind of in shock because we almost had an accident. We were in shock, and then we looked at each other and went, what? You know, what kind of deal is this? You know? Well, I'll tell you exactly what kind of deal it is. When it's Christian and it's clearly Christian to us and da-da-da-da, we're that way. But when it's just regular old life, we're just that way. We just don't think. We don't have. We haven't been renewed in the spirit of our mind, but we put new stuff, God stuff, Lamb stuff in our mind, but we don't have the spirit of it.
That's right.
The spirit of it. And it says in Ephesians, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so that's why we drive down the road and I sing, if I die, praise the Lord, get the words out of my mouth, go, hey, you idiot, you almost killed us. You know, thank God we had enough sense to look at each other and laugh and go, oh my God, you know, what is wrong with us? So, it's real important that we get across that there is a power released when someone lives by faith or lives by the Lamb. And brings that into various situations, there's a power that is released. And most of the time, that power is for God and for others. Sometimes only for God, sometimes for others, both, whatever, however that goes. All right. But what I want to talk about tonight is that there's another power at work. There's another power at work. And that power is different than the power that is released, and that is the power that works in us. Okay? There's another power. And it's not the same in its manifestation. The power that works in us or in them is like resurrection power. Because it explodes. Depending on the degree of the death, it explodes to bring forth in great and just incredible ways. And I've seen it over the years. Over the years, I've seen it and seen it and seen it. And watched it when that was truly enacted, when it was a self-giving nature that was put into it and died and didn't fight for its own rights and da-da-da-da, on and on. And it was on a large scale. Boom, it's happened in this church. It has happened in this church bunches of times, but certainly milestones along the way. And when it happened, it pushed us ahead like new life, you know. All right. But there's this other power that works in us, and it's not like resurrection. It is like death. We'll just call it death. Because why? Because, listen to me, you're not bringing the cross into the trials like I drew here on the chalkboard. You're bringing the cross into you. And that should always be there and be enacted. And you should be walking by that and not just believing something and thinking that's sufficient, because it's not. Okay. So, but it's this thing. And what I want to do is I want to go over some scriptures here. I want to start with asking you, when we go over these scriptures, how much, because we're talking about the impact of faith, or my subtitle here is how the faith affects us. How much these particular scriptures have a bearing on your daily life, if any. Okay. And not just if we can recall a couple of shots a week or one or this or that, where we can recall some act that, you know, I don't know. It's the example I've used before. It's like driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you start ready to honk the horn or, you know, teach them what the state bird is or something, you know, that you're going to do, some reaction you're going to do to express your rights. And you say, okay, I'm not going to do that. And we say, man, this guy almost cut me off and I just went with the Lord, man. It was like the trials of Job. What? No, it wasn't. It wasn't even... That's nothing. But yes, thank God if you can do that regularly. But don't categorize that as, don't call that to your remembrance and apply to these scriptures and say, see, I did that once or twice, you know, in my life or whatever. But how much in a day do these verses affect us? All right, so I want to start with Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. It's funny. It's great. Let's look at verse 33, and then 34 is where we really want to go. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Interesting that it's saying all of these people, you know, they're saying these great things. They subdued kingdoms and they did this, but it also says they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, that out of weakness were made strong, and that might even apply to all of the ones who resurrection came forth, but they were in weakness. And strength came out of that. There is a weakness, and we're going to see a whole bunch of scriptures that back this up. There is a strength, listen carefully, there's a strength that comes out of weakness. There's not just strength, oh God, give me strength. Anybody see a contrast there? Oh God, give me strength. Anybody prayed that before? Notice, I got two hands, yeah. I got two hands up. I've prayed it many times. But we're just looking for help. We're not looking to Christ crucified. And we're just looking to the God of Israel, if you understand what I mean by that. We're just looking to the God of Israel, the way Israel looked to him, instead of the way the new covenant relationship says, this is the faith, walk ye in it. You know? And what a difference, you know, and it's the difference, we dealt with this before, but it's the same difference between post or pre-cross healing by Jesus and healing afterwards, post-cross healing. One is he's just the healer man that's going and healing people. But the second one is he has died and paid for it so that you could be free, right? All right, so there's a mentality or a renewing of the spirit of your mind, the spirit of your mind, the spirit of your mind. You can cram all of this stuff into your head and say, I have heard so many great sermons or so many great teachings in Bible school, and it never kick in because you don't have the spirit of it. And if he just wanted you to clean your mind up, he'd have said that. But he said, let this mind be in you, which was right here in the crucified, which was in Christ Jesus, which was in the crucified, who thought it not robbery, who thought it not a thing to be grasped after to be equal with God. I'm not being robbed. I can still live this nature. In fact, with the cross, you can really manifest it. Or prove that you barely have it or don't have it at all. See, it took the cross to really show us the Lamb. To show us the real, you know, because we can say, well, oh, Jesus fed, oh, I've been down here at the thing and I've fed people too, you know. It's like, anyway. All right. So, this is specifically worded out of weakness, out of this walk of faith, out of weakness, strength came. Okay, so here's the power at work in us. Weakness. Here's the strength, the power of his resurrection toward God and others. Anybody see the contrast? Because we're going to be looking at quite a bit here. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, okay, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All right. Now, we could say that means that God is so powerful that even when he's weak, he's better than us. That's not what it's saying. In fact, verse 24, we kind of skip that. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And verse 23 says, but we preach Christ crucified. He's a stumbling block unto them. He's foolishness. And verse 22 says, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They're seeking some measure. Okay, the Greeks. Anybody know anything about the Greeks? It was all about their great philosophies and all about their great wisdom. The Jews. Miracle. We need another miracle. We need this. We need that. We need something supernatural to happen. And Paul says right here, but God at the cross, when he became Lamb or manifested as Lamb, that weakness is greater than all the strengths that we would try to pursue. But they say, we don't want that. We don't want the crucified. We want him to raise from the dead and make us something so strong. But you don't see that strength so much in the churches. I mean, I travel more than you do, and I see a lot of churches, and I'm telling you, all kind of lack and problems and, you know, stuff going on. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm making myself weak. And yet, many of those churches are pursuing a strength by the Jews or by the Greeks. You know, some deeper life people say, well, we don't, you know, praise God if we get miracles, but that's not really what it's about. We want to have this great knowledge. How about this? We want to have this great death. We want that. We don't want more knowledge to make us appear something that we're not. Let no man think more highly of himself than you ought. Well, how should I think about it? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know? Oh, is that how you want me to view myself? As dead? Yes, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I'm alive unto God. No, you're not. You're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Through the crucified.
Amen.
This cross gets in you first in the form of faith, or what was the word we used last week or something? Conceptualizing. It's conceptualized. But then it becomes actual, Book of James, when we begin to walk in it. That's when it becomes what the scriptures say. That's what fulfilled. Now you're justified by faith because you're walking by faith. Now is fulfilled the saying, Abraham is justified by faith. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Because we walk by faith. Because the just live by faith. And this work justifies us as far as our sin and everything else because it was selfless giving. But when that nature gets in us, we're justified with God because we're living by what His Spirit, His nature. We're one with Him. We're not God. We'll never be gods, but we have Christ in us. And He is, by the way.
Yes.
All right. So the weakness of God is stronger than men. So here we are. Here's us. We're going into a trial situation. We're going, give me strength, give me strength, give me strength. And He's saying, my weakness would do you better. Okay, we're just getting started here. My weakness would do you better. Because it'll bring forth something for God and for others. All right. So let's go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 through 5. And I was with you in weakness. I want you to keep noticing the word weakness, how it pops up all the time. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Okay, so here he is, bodily presence. He is weak. He is in fear and trembling. He's trusting in this cross in terms of weakness in him to do something for the Corinthians. When I was with you, I brought Christ crucified openly among you. Okay. And then he says, in my speech and preaching, it wasn't about making sure that you understood everything and that every chart was so clear that you wouldn't even need the Holy Spirit or the Bible. We've got Kelly or, you know, me or Jim or Mallory or somebody, you know, who will explain everything so clearly, you know. And, you know, I mean, I don't justify anything when I was in Bible school because I was a mess. But I remember when a good buddy of mine, who also was a hippie, who'd come there to the Bible school, and he came up and he had a Thompson Chain reference Bible. Anybody know what a Thompson Chain reference is? Big old thick baby. Then he opens that thing up and he said, man, this Bible is the best ever. This thing's got everything in it. And he opens it up and he's going, look at this. Here's all the notes. You know, it was like, you know, here's all the notes right here. And you flip and there's all this. Here's his notes and everything. And he's flipping through and finally I stopped and I said, where's the Word of God in that thing, man? You know, I couldn't see it. And it was, you know, they had just like a couple of lines at the top, you know. I mean, the Bible was so thick. And I said, I don't justify anything I said. I was a mess. But, you know, I said to him, wow, that is a great Bible. You don't even need the Holy Spirit for this one. You know, it's got everything already worked out for you. Well, there's a grain of something of God in that, and that is, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. In fact, it may be the next class, but as we get through this, we're going to find one of the weakness scriptures, and we're going to prove that. We're going to prove that one. All right. So But I didn't even read verse 5. But my speech and preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, okay, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Okay. Now, he just said that his presentation and his preaching was in weakness. Okay. So let's look on the chalkboard. Let's find which power it was that was working in him. Was it the power of the believer or the power over here for others? It is the first and foremost the power of weakness in the believer, which results in, right? But we're not looking for resurrection power. You say, well, it says right there in Philippians 3:10, you know, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. Yeah, by being made conformable to his death. Because there is no power of resurrection, because there's no resurrection without death. So there's no power of resurrection. And besides, there is no, he is not going to give you resurrection power. I need resurrection power. Tough. You're not going to get it. The scripture says that I may know him. In what manner? In the power of his resurrection. In the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. This is a task. This is a course that I have set to know him, and to know him, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, not resurrection power, and not my resurrection power, but I'm joined with him in death and in resurrection. And if you have been, what is this, Romans 6:4? If you have been, or 3 and 4, if you have been buried in the likeness of his death, you shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. All right. So, all those scriptures, they can just be scriptures to us. They never sink in. They never impact us. We are able to come to some sort of a agreement that must be true, but we don't walk by that because we're too busy believing by faith, which we're not supposed to be believing by faith. We're supposed to be walking by faith. So we read all this stuff, you know, if we have been buried in the likeness of his death, then we shall. See, and shall is an incredible word. If you ever take heart to the word shall and start getting into the scriptures, you're going to see automatics, what I call automatics. That is the old light switch. You don't try to turn the light on any other way, but you say, I flip this switch, and somehow light comes through these things. You don't have to know electricity. You just have to know what sets things in motion. The automatic will come, but you never seek automatics. You seek the thing that brings it about. Death brings about resurrection. But for the most part, his kind of death, now I'm just telling you, his kind of death or his death at work in you, I'm just telling you, it's probably going to be for God and others, for the Father and for others. Now, I know for a fact that there are times that he will really set you forward because of the death that you went through. I know that. I've experienced it. But I'll tell you what, I ignorantly believed for that for probably half of my walk, because I saw it enacted and I believed, and I said, okay, I'm going to die, but there's going to be a resurrection. And I always thought in terms of myself. And there came a day when I went, oh my God, you know, this is so sad. This is so not Christ. So I can say, yes, I know that it can redound back to you. But the more pure death would be his death, and his death would not be for himself. The more pure death would be more union into Christ in his death. All right, so now verse 5. Verse 3 is that he's in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And verse 4, and his preaching is not enticing with wisdom or this and that. But verse 5, that your faith, what? Your what? Your faith. Your what? Your faith should not stand in strength. Okay. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, so here we go. What is the power of God? We saw it in the first chapter. We're only in the second chapter here. We didn't even deal with all that much in there. But what we saw is that God's power, at least God's power through the cross, is when he became weak and boom! It was like an eternal explosion that keeps going for all generations to their benefit. Life out of death, okay? So, the power that worked in Jesus was weakness, which we're going to see in Scripture. The power that worked in Jesus to bring that about was weakness, not strength. Now, if we don't get this, our minds are like a lazy dog. It'll always go back to where it likes to sleep. It will. Your mind could quite possibly at this moment be like a lazy dog that just goes, okay, oh, yes, Master. Okay, afterward. Plop down. This is it. This is what I am. How did that go? I don't even care. You know, God, give me strength. And you will. You'll walk right out of here, and in 2 days, you'll never even recognize it. You will pray according to that other mind. Your old dog is going to lay down in the same spot, and you're not even going to notice. And you know what? You won't even care because you won't notice. The only reason why you notice now is because it's like Cassie said, Dad, I can't listen to you when you preach when I'm trying to rest because you get so, you know. Well, I know why. I know all about this stuff. You know why? Because of the great wisdom God has given me. No, because my mind does that too. And I've done that over and over. And I have had to fight what? Me, my mind. I've had to resist. You know, we say, well, it's the devil. I resist the devil, but I won't resist me. Submit yourself to God. You know, resist the devil. You start by submitting yourself to God, then you resist the devil. But there is this thing. It's a religious as it can be. If I called it a religious spirit, a pervading religious spirit among men, I may not be far off. It is a religious spirit that just keeps lulling us back to sleep, just awake enough to remember that I can call on God and he'll get me out of this. No matter, you know, see, and we never take into consideration, well, if God gets me out of this, what are the repercussions? You know, anybody ever watch one of those science fiction movies where they go in time front or back and you do one thing and it changes the thing for everybody else, you know? Well, you change, you're doing it spiritually. You say, get me out of this. And you don't know the repercussions of by getting you out of this, it was going to lead to this and God would have been able to move and touch. But no, you wanted out of that. And so he got you out of that. And now, and the perfect example of that, which we all know, is Hezekiah praying, don't kill me, I don't want to die yet. And so then he ends up having Manasseh, and we say, here's us. I mean, here's the worst we get. Oh my God, he had Manasseh. You know, he should have just died and not had, you know, Think of all of the people Manasseh did horrible things to. Okay, If you could actually see that, if it was like a drawing, and then you could take that, and this affected this person, and that therefore affected this one and this one, and then it just spreads out. It just spreads out because it's like a pinball machine, or it's just going and going and going and going. But we don't see all that. We don't see any of that. We just go, oh, I just had a little Manasseh. You know, how's your day? Well, I just had a little Manasseh. Except for we wouldn't say that. We would say what we say with joy. We would say, I had a situation and I asked God to get me out of that because I didn't want nothing to do with Christ or the cross or anything. I just wanted the Jewish God to save me from my trial. And so to heck with all these other people and whatever happens to them, I live for me and my choice is all only taken to me, my consideration. You know, so, you know, is God in this place? Jacob said, surely God was in this place and I knew it not. Do you think this could actually be something that's important to him? Or is this is just Randy and he just does this? Do you think that God could actually be behind not only this, but maybe several following before this? Maybe several in 40 years. Maybe at least 5 sermons that were really of God. Why don't they stick? Come on, why don't they stick? Why don't they stick? Why don't they have an effect? Why don't they grip us and we go, oh my God, my God. You know, they would rent their garments when they would realize these things. It would devastate them. Why? Because they love the Lord, the people in the Bible. That's why they're in the Bible. Because these guys, I want to be like, I want to be like David. You're never going to get there on the road you're on. It doesn't lead to David there, you know. Well, I want to have a heart after God, except for, you know, I want my daily decisions to be a heart after me. You know, even if it's choices in the church or choices in spiritual matters, we can still choose ourselves with no thought that we're choosing ourselves, none at all, and think we're okay. What's going to turn the tide? Something in us has to say, I don't even know how far off I am. I need Jesus. I am going to pursue the Lord. I'm not just going to wait for the next sermon Randy gives and then go, oh, I think I need to, you know, and then that dog will go lay down again. It will. It will. I like, you know, what's it? Elihu, was he the young one? Elihu and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. You know, of Caleb it says, he's got another spirit. You know, all those people, we know Joshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. We know Jesus is okay. But Caleb had another spirit. We know Jesus does. But Caleb had another spirit. And they go into the land. They bring back all this stuff. And they go, yeah, but there's all the people. There's giants in the land. There's stuff. It's going to be hard. We're going to face trials. And to do this, they're going to be bigger than this. They're going to be big trials. And they're going to be constant. And it's just not going to be good. And da-da-da-da. And Caleb stilled the people before God. Before the Lord. And he said, we are well able to overcome. By what? Well, Paul said it, whether by life or by death, whether by resurrection or by going down into death. We're going to keep this cycle going. We're going to walk by this thing. We're not going to let the cross disappear 2,000 years ago and just become another teaching. It's another teaching, just like any other teaching. So anyway, there was another spirit, And we're going to have to realize it's not. Let me sit in these classes, and it will eventually get me. No, it won't. Here's my idea. You come in to church, or you come into the classes, and your first thought is Jesus. Your first thought is, I want the Lord. Now, that's hard to do because we've been living out there contrary to that, so it's hard to walk in and go, oh, yeah, I need to now, you know. I need to become a Christian now, you know. But to walk in but more importantly, to set your heart to say, I don't care what is shared, I don't care what is sung, I don't care if Randy gets up there and leads worship and, you know, is just like, look at me. I am going to look at Jesus. You know? I am going to look at Jesus and I am going to seek him and I'm going to find him in stuff that normally would offend me. I'm going to get Jesus out of this. You know, the terminology, you bring the cross into it. Again, you actually walk by that faith. Okay. Anyway, we need to stop because we had 10 minutes, then we had 5 minutes, now we got minus 5, and now it's like minus 10. So let's take a break, and we got more on this.